Hello, good friends, and we're glad to be with you today. My name is Richard Massey, and we will be studying today a Bible lesson about the invisible dominions, the invisible powers, the invisible host, invisible angels to some degree. And we want to start off in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, where it talks about Christ creating this universe and all of the visible things and the invisible things. Colossians 1 and 16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The invisible things are the unseen things. And the things that we're talking about in our lesson is found in verse 16. Dominions or principalities or powers or thrones. These are the invisible things, such as the angels. Now, angels are created. We know this from reading passages like Psalm 148. I want to read Psalm 148 with you, verses 1 through 5. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all ye his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Angels are unseen. He created them. This passage affirms that. And so all things were created by God in 6 literal days, Exodus 20 in verse 11. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And so God created them. And he's created all things, including the unseen powers that exist. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we learn more about these unseen dominions. First of all, we see that they're created. Second of all, notice in 2 Peter 2 and 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into change of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We learn in this passage that they are free moral agents. They're not robots. And they are held accountable for their actions. And so they left their first habitation. And they are now held in spiritual incarceration. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 12, it talks about the angels. It says there, and unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So the angels are free moral agents. They are created, but this passage tells us that they have intellectual abilities. They desire to look into the things that God has designed concerning our salvation. In Hebrews 1, verses 4 through 7, concerning Christ, the Bible says, being made, beginning in verse 4, Hebrews 1, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they? For unto which of the angels did he at any time say, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And so the angels are created, they're intellectuals, they're free moral agents, but they are capable of worshiping Jesus Christ. These are the invisible powers, the angels. But also, let us notice in James 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They're intellectual. Notice this passage says that the devils, plural, devils. And so there's more than one devil. There are devils. And they believe and they tremble. They believe so much that they actually tremble. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 through 6, the devil tempts Eve, and he uses reasons, he uses lies, he uses an argument there. He said, You shall not surely die. Well, his speech reveals that he is intelligent, that he can speak, and it also reveals that he can know right from wrong, because he lied to cause Eve to believe something that was in error, that she would not die. And so the devil says, You shall not surely die. Again, showing the intelligence of the devil and his capabilities. He can speak. They are spiritual beings. Yes, we cannot see the devil. But the devil is still very active. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, in verse number 8, it says to beware of our adversary, the devil, who has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And so he is our enemy. He is our adversary. But he is trying to devour us. He's trying to destroy us. And so these invisible powers are created. They're intelligent. They are able to worship. They're able to comprehend. They're able to speak. Now in Jude, beginning in verse 8, it says, Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Then it says in verse 9, Yet Michael, the archangel, yet contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. And so that right there tells us that there's an invisible world where you have the good angels, God's angels, God's messengers, and they're dealing with evil principalities and powers. And there's contention between those. God's angels stand against the devil and his angels. And so we're learning about this unseen world of spiritual powers. But in Luke 10, this is what Jesus said concerning the devil. He says in this passage in verse 18, And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Satan had a fall, didn't he? And the spirits were subject to the apostles and inspired men. And there are some examples of that in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we see that these inspired men had power over the devils. In Acts 8, beginning in verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of the many that were possessed of them. And many taken with palsies and were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." And so the inspired men of God, they had power. They cast out the demons. No, it's not like these exorcisms that they make movies of these days, where the devil comes out as a frog or green blood. That's not what's going to happen. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is in the city of Philippi. And there's a damsel there that has an evil spirit. We read of it in Acts 16, beginning in verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." That's what her divination was. Verse 17 says, "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God." That's what they were saying. That's their soothsaying. "Which showed unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same day." Now that made the masters of that girl angry and upset, and they sought to punish Paul. But the point is, yes, they were intelligent. Yes, they could speak, but God's men had power over them. And so they're not more powerful than God. They're not more powerful than God's power. In Acts 5 and verse 16, we read of this incident. It says, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk with them, which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." The man of God had power over them. They did not have power over the people of God. The people of God had power over them. Now, the devil is limited. He's limited in his power. We're going to be reading about that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the devil cannot tempt you more than you're able to withstand. We know this because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." The devil cannot overpower us. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 7, we're to submit ourselves unto God. And then it says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So it is true that we have power over the devil. Now we're talking about devils and we're talking about angels as well. They are part of the unseen world. We cannot see them. Let's talk about the angels of Christ for just a second. In Luke 1, the Bible says in verse 26 that there was angels at the announcement of Jesus' birth. Luke 1, verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So the angel announced to her that she was going to have a child. The angels were there when Christ was conceived. They were there when Christ was born. Luke 2 and 13, and suddenly there was the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away with them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known. So there were angels that welcomed Christ's birth, that announced his conception. Angels were there when Christ was tempted in Matthew 4 and verse 11. Angels were there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus prayed before he was taken away and crucified. Angels were there at his resurrection, Matthew 28, 2 through 7. They were at his tomb. Angels were there when Jesus ascended back up into heaven, Acts 1 and verse 11. And angels are going to be with Jesus when he comes back again, Matthew 25 and verse 31. They are the unseen individuals that we're talking about right now. So the angels are unseen, but we have information about them. Furthermore, there is the devil and his angels, and God has prepared a place in hell for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25 and verse 41. If we don't make it to heaven, we'll be cast into that place with them. But furthermore, the angels of the devil are against us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we wrestle against them. Did you know that? Acts chapter 6 and verse 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why we're to put on the whole armor of God. The spiritual host of wickedness can be defeated. They're intelligent. They're trying to work against us. They can blind people's minds, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But they're not stronger than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said this about the strong man. In Luke chapter 8, we begin reading in verse 26, and it says, After they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which was over against Galilee, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in his tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. This is why the Bible says the devils also believe and tremble, James 2 and 19. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion. because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine, and you know that account. He cast the devils into the swine, and they went down into the water and destroyed themselves. Yes, the devil is wicked. He made that man miserable. And the devil is wanting to attack you, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. He's as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he was the tempter of Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Do you know that demons are mentioned about 100 times in the New Testament? They're evil and they can speak. Sort of a funny incident happened, and it's recorded in Acts 19. And I want to read that with you, Acts 19, beginning in verse 13. It says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Isn't that wonderful? And so God's people have the power over the devil. God has not left us ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. The devils are very vicious and very wicked, but they're held in constraint now, according to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Satan is bound with a chain, and he's been dumped into the bottomless abyss, and there he has been restrained. Eventually, in the end, Revelation 20, 7 through 10, he will be cast into the lake of fire and tormented for all of the evil that he has done. And we are very thankful for this news. The world will end. The judgment will be passed. Satan and all the unseen enemies will be cast down to be tormented. But saints will be in heaven. And we're thankful that nothing that defileth can enter into heaven. And so the devil is not allowed there. He's not allowed to be in heaven. Only God's people and the saved and Jesus Christ and the angels of God will be there. All the rest who are evil and wicked, they will be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. What wonderful, wonderful news we have in God's word. Yes, there's a physical realm, a visible realm, but there's also an invisible realm. There are the hosts, the principalities, the powers that are invisible. They're intelligent. They are free moral agents. They can choose to do right or choose to do wrong. The devil is that way. He can speak. He can lie. He's intellectual. He lied to Eve, and he'll lie to anyone who listens to him. But I'm glad that the Bible teaches us his ways and his way he functions, because we're not ignorant of his devices, and we're very thankful for that. I'm glad to be with you in this study. This is a study of the invisible things. I hope you've learned something from it. The angels of God are invisible as well. They're intelligent. They can speak. They have been with Christ. They announced his birth. They were with him when he was baptized. They were there when he was tempted and tried of the devil. And they were there when he ascended back into heaven. We're thankful for the work of the angels and the scheme of redemption. Thank you, dear one, for listening today, and we hope and pray that you'll continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you next time. God bless, and we say so long for now.